have problems? She has answers. Getting down to the nitty-gritty with people who know what they're talking about. This is Advice for Life with Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advice for Life with Lynn. Today's issue is the only ingredient you'll ever need to manifest anything you want. Sounds like a recipe for success. It is. You know, everybody wants to manifest or create something. I mean, not everybody, but most people do. And most of us have heard about how to manifest for years and years. In fact, it's kind of a buzzword. That and narcissism. Everybody keeps talking about narcissism and manifesting, including myself. The book and the movie, The Secret, was probably the first in recent time that we can remember that we really heard people talk about manifesting to the masses. And I really like The Secret. We've talked about The Secret on this podcast before. I like it because it reached out to so many people, talked about the power within us to create the life we want. And that is really powerful. But as we've talked about manifesting before in this podcast, The Secret really only focused on the outward things, you know, like how to manifest a house, how to manifest a car, how to manifest a job, how to manifest a marriage, money. And those things are great, but it was missing the main ingredient, I feel like, in its teachings. And a lot of my mentors feel the same way. It was missing the message of the feeling. So I've learned two super important things to manifestation. Number one, we absolutely must put ourselves on another frequency to attract what we want. Frequency is energy. So think of it like being on a particular radio station or even a TV station. And if you want to change the station, you have to change the energy. So two, I've also learned, you change your frequency or your energy by changing your thoughts. So number one, we must put ourselves in another frequency to manifest what we want. And number two, you change your frequency by changing your thoughts. Okay, so that's kind of easy to get, right? You maybe already know this. You know, our brain knows this at least already. And it's kind of like when you're on Instagram, when you know something and you're watching somebody cook. I love watching people cook. Oh my God, I could watch people cook and work out all day. It's so entertaining to me. It's so satisfying. So let's say you're on Instagram and you're watching, or whatever, you're on YouTube watching somebody cook, and you know, for example, you're watching this person add fresh chopped herbs, and you know in your brain that fresh chopped herbs are going to make the lasagna even more fragrant and tasty, because you know that fresh anything is tasty. And you're watching this person cooking and chopping the fresh herbs, and you see it looks delicious, and you know it's probably delicious in the end. But it's another thing to actually do it, to get the herbs, to chop them up, to put them in your recipe. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes intention. It's the very same thing with manifestation, or whatever you're learning, and in this case, manifestation. We must practice putting ourselves on another frequency by changing our thoughts so we can feel what we want to feel. Then the magic of manifestation begins. So changing our thoughts, back to the chopping, takes practice. Takes work. But we know when we change our thoughts, we can feel what we want to feel. And the feeling is the main ingredient in manifesting what you want. Feel it first, then it comes. I know. It's like you get it intellectually, but when it comes to doing it, you're like, how's that go again? So that's what this podcast is about. I had a recent example of feeling it first and then getting it second, or manifesting it second, and I want to share it with you. And it was very recent example. My husband has a habit, as do I, and a lot of my friends, of interrupting. There's a girlfriend that you always have, right? Or a couple of them. You talk while they're talking, and you both hear each other, and not that kind of interrupting. That's like normal conversation interrupting. I'm talking about like outward interrupting. He has a habit of interrupting. Well, I'll just talk about myself, me. And again, before I, this isn't about railing on my husband, because I do plenty of interrupting myself, but this is an example of manifesting something I want, which would be to be heard. So he's got this habit of interrupting. In this particular situation, recently I came home from a long day of work and, you know, I take a shower, take off my mask. It's part of the process. And I go into the kitchen after the shower when he's preparing dinner, which is what we always do. Thank God he cooks, because I can't cook or I hate cooking. Anyway, we talk about our day, right? And he goes first. I always let him go first. He's talking about his day, his thoughts, his concerns, and I'm listening. And I'm listening actively. You know, there's a big difference between listening, You're not really present, and like really listening. Like, oh, that's interesting. How'd that make you feel? That's the kind of listening I was doing. Pretty actively. Then it was my turn. I started to talk about my day, my concerns, my thoughts. And he interrupts me and asks me, because he's chopping up chicken he just bought and wanted to put in the freezer and prepare it for dinner. And he asks me, could you hand me a freezer bag? And can you put the chicken in the freezer? And can you put it in this way? And like multiple interruptions. And I hand him another bag and I do what he asks, right? And I'm getting mildly irritated. And I say something snippy like, yes, your highness, passive aggressive, thinking that maybe he'll get the hint, or I don't know what I was thinking, but I was just snipped. We get to dinner, we chat, he goes into a long conversation, I listen actively, and then I start into, I don't know, a story I'm trying to relate to, I can't even remember what the conversation was about, it wasn't that important, but I started into a story, and in the middle of my second sentence, he gets up from the table, he clears his plate, and he walks into the kitchen. Now I'm really pissed. Like mid-sentence, I'm like, gone. And I said, you just get up and you leave when it's my turn to talk? Is that how this works? So I'm getting really, really pissed off. And he says his standard, Lynn, I can do two things at once, you know. Which he's trying to say, I can listen to you and clean up while leaving the table, which is not what I want. I want active listening, not just, So I proceed to tell him what he did wrong, which is my old pattern of low frequency. Anger, by the way, irritation, frustration, all that, those are low energy frequencies on the radio station. I mean, we all have them. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just not, you know, they don't make you feel good. So I proceed to tell him what he did wrong. That's not nice. You can't interrupt. It's always about when you talk. I listen. But when it comes to me, me telling a story, you don't listen. You can't do that to people. Blah, 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 blah. It's all about you. So, and then whenever I obviously realize that me jabbering on and trying to convince him to understand why he's wrong isn't going to help the situation. So I, quote, let it go. For the evening. In other words, I just sort of switch my thoughts. You know, I'm not down. I'm not anything. I don't want to talk about it anymore because I don't have a solution and he's not participating in the solution. So we, you know, let things go, go to bed, fine. But I'm marinating when I go to bed. Even though I say I let it go, I'm kind of quietly seething and I'm trying to figure out my feelings. I'm a processor. My husband, like most men, really doesn't process, and I wish I kind of was a man sometimes. Anyway, the next day, I'm so pissed off. I'm so mad. And then he goes on his 24-hour work shift, which is actually really good because I went to work. I spent the entire day so angry, seething. And this pattern came up of not feeling heard. I was angry about not feeling heard, not feeling good enough, and I Google, you know, I project it on him. I Google people who don't listen. I Google how to handle people who aren't good listeners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, trying to make it all about him. And this does not help my mood and it does not help my energy. And there is no solution. Even if I try to understand why people don't listen, I am literally sitting in my office in this pool of angry energy. I take a deep breath and I check myself. This is really important to changing your frequency. And I'm aware that I'm angry and I'm aware that I've been angry for a good 24 hours. And then all of a sudden I separate myself from that anger and I become the watcher. I'm just watching myself without judgment. Oh, look at you sitting in a pool of anger. And I saw this woman who's in this pool of anger energy and I realize it's, you know, that's not going to get her anywhere. She's not going to get anywhere. I could tell a million people about how he was wrong and I was right. And I could have a million, oh yeah, Lynn, you're right. But I'm not going to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be peaceful. So by the end of this day, I decided to leave the anger radio station and the anger frequency. And instead, I decided to jump on the good enough to be listened to radio station. I wanted to feel good enough and feel that radio station, feel that frequency. It's really the self-love frequency. So I said to myself, I said to myself, well, what I'm doing isn't working. I still feel crappy. And that is, you know, being triggered and blaming others, and blaming myself for not saying what I want. I was really blaming myself. That's really why I was mad. I was blaming myself for not saying what I wanted. And I said to myself, I need to change my approach. You need to tell the world, the universe, what you want, what you deserve, without anger, through love. So, you know, I'm a writer, so I wrote down what I wanted to tell my husband. He just happened to be the person. And obviously, I was really writing down what I was telling myself. And I used a lot of I words. You know, I feel, I need, I would like, very few you. Just so you can take full responsibility and certainly not attack the other person. So I went home. Again, I went, you know, he was on an overnight shift, so I went home alone. And I felt pretty good about my little speech. I felt pretty good about that feel. I just had a better feeling. I felt peaceful. I felt good enough. So I knew I was getting or on a different energy because I was feeling better. And this feeling of feeling good enough, I think, because I'm not the expert, I think that's what self-love feels like, because I was feeling good enough. I felt good about the words. I felt good about what I was going to say. I just had a knowing, even if I never said it, like, okay, this is what I deserve. I'm good enough to have somebody listen to me, of course. So, well, let me just go get into that before I tell you about what happened, because it's pretty incredible. I don't know if you guys get that. It took me many, 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 many years to understand that. When we are mad at somebody else, it's always about us. So it's a great opportunity. It's okay to put it on somebody else. That person cut me off. Or I'll just use my husband example. He got up in the middle of a conversation. He left. Who does that? Okay. There's some truth to that. But I'm mad at him. Yeah. But who else am I mad at? Like, peel it like an onion. And I realized again, under the surface, I was really mad at myself for never really saying and feeling that I deserve to be heard. So I know that's a lot, but it is true. And when I wrote the words, I deserve to be listened to, and really felt it and believed it, then I wasn't angry anymore at myself. So when he got home the next morning, I had my little speech and everything. My energy field was already different. I had a good night's sleep. I already felt different. And we're having breakfast, our little ritual, and I just owned it. And I said, in a loving way, not angry, passive aggressive, like loving way, I said, I needed to practice saying how I feel and what I want. And, you know, could you hear me out? And he said, yeah, of course. And in my head, I thought, if he can give me what I want, great. If he can't give me what I want, then I'll go from there. So I said it to him, you know, I deserve, I want, I need. And again, I was coming through love when I said these things. And I said, we both agreed that respect was number one in any relationship. And I don't feel respected when I'm not listened to, and or when somebody gets up in the middle of a convo because it makes me feel uncared for, definitely unheard, et cetera, et cetera. I realize I interrupt too, taking responsibility. And at first he was a little bit defensive, and I stayed calm, man. I was calm and loving, not just calm, but loving. Like, I can understand where, you know, when somebody brings something up, even if they don't say you, it's natural to feel a little defensive, like you did something wrong. So I just repeated myself in a loving way. And then I said, so what do you think? You know, what are your thoughts? And then the miracle occurred. He said he was sorry, and he said he would work on doing it better. Now, maybe that doesn't sound like a miracle to you. Well, there's a couple of miracles. It takes a lot for him to say sorry. I was not expecting him to say really anything. But the true miracle, A Course in Miracles says, a miracle is a change in perception. The miracle was the change in my perception, my energy. I went from anger, poor me, I'm the victim, I'm not good enough to be listened to, I'm so angry with myself and the world, to, the perception is, I'm feeling peaceful, I'm feeling loved, I'm feeling good enough to be listened to, I'm feeling good enough to tell the world this. Those are miracles. So it was incredible. When I changed my perception, when I changed my frequency, my energy to feeling good enough, I got that back from the universe. In this case, it just happened to come from my husband. So I was telling my guru this and she's like, yeah, that's exactly what manifestation is. We've got to feel it first, whatever it is, whatever we want to feel. Feel it first, then we can manifest whatever we want. You want to feel loved by someone? Feel love first. You want financial abundance? Feel abundant first. You want to feel respected? Feel self-respect first. It's kind of a, you know, it's hard to get your head wrapped around it, but once you start practicing it, you're going to be shocked. Like, for example, the money thing. We have to, some of us say, well, I can't feel abundant until I have money. But imagine the times in your life that you did feel abundant, maybe with food or with friends or family or love. And then hold that feeling. It's like the gym, you know, you're flexing, hold it, keep that tricep tight, don't let go. That's how you build physical muscle. That's how you build emotional muscle, when you keep feeling, and you build that energy. So I'm going to keep feeling good enough. Well, there's plenty of times during the day. Most of the day, I don't feel good enough. But when the feeling comes up, I'm feeling good enough. Like right now, I'm feeling good enough right this very second. It's just like within you. And so I'm going to hold it. My guru says if you can hold it at least 7 seconds, it like magnifies 3 times. So hold it. So whatever it is you want, feel it first. Hold it when you do have it, and know that you're changing your energy field. Will my husband interrupt me again? You know he will. Will I interrupt him? Of course. But really, me interrupting him isn't a big deal to him. Other things are a big deal to him. But the more I practice staying with love, getting back to that love, self-love energy and love for the world, the more love I will attract. It's just the way it is. Like attracts like. Oh, and one more thing. I did forget to mention this pretty important thing. Gratitude. I felt so much gratitude for what I got back from the universe, what I got back from my husband, hearing me, acknowledging me. My heart was bursting for 3 days. So I said thank you in the moment. And then later that night, I came home from work. That I want to sit you down. And he's always like, what now? What are you processing? No, I just said, I really, really, really appreciate, you know, you listening to me, everything you said, thank you so much. And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then 2 days later, I just felt my heart was like so full. It's like, it had to come out. I called him. I said, I know I've told you this before twice, but I'm so grateful and thankful. We had a good conversation and you listened and I felt heard more than anything. I felt heard. So gratitude is really important when you do get on that frequency that you want to be on, that you feel the gratitude and you express the gratitude. Remember, The Course in Miracles, which is the book I have been teaching on from and the book I am still learning from, says that for which you are grateful, you'll never be without. So that's motivation for having gratitude, but it's more about, in this particular case, when it comes to manifesting, it's more about just feeling that gratitude and letting it out. It feels so good. Gratitude, it's everything. So in conclusion, to reiterate, when you want to manifest something, feel it first, and then it will come. I'm a work in progress, like most of us, but I'm living proof that when you change the way you think, we change our energy, we change our frequency, we change our lives. Happy practicing feeling what you want to come into your life. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. See you on the next Advice for Life with Lynn. Manifest that, baby.